We have some questions from parents, or actually Wayne is a grandparent. He has an 8-year-old grandson. Parents are divorcing this year. Teachers encourage ADHD testing. Unfortunately, health insurance does not provide. They're in the Sacramento area. And he says he's willing to pay out of pocket for an assessment and a way forward. And so any advice for that situation?
Yeah, I would say a couple things because, first of all, if you can pay out of the pocket, I would definitely look for a neuropsychologist or a psychologist that specialize in child and adolescent testing, someone who has been really trained in that area. But the other thing he can do is request an IEP, you know, and they can go to their school and say, you know, the teacher is noting attentional problems, but I feel like there's a lot more going on because if parents are divorcing, there's a lot of psychological issues that could be happening. The school could start testing. I mean, this is a lot longer process, but if you disagree with their testing results or you want something further, that's when you have the right to request an independent educational evaluation. Now, again, this is you have to have reasons why and moving forward. And then a lot of times you can get the school district to pay for someone like me who does private evaluations, but it's a whole legal process and it takes a really long time. But yeah, someone who is saying there's attentional problems, but given just that fact that the parents are divorcing, I would say that there could be a lot of other things going on with this child, and I would highly recommend doing some outside testing.
Makes sense. And then we have Amber. I believe she lives in the Tulsa area, and it kind of leads to the question of, do you have any recommendations? We have a national audience, and I know you practice in California. Do you have any recommendations for our parents who would like to get testing or services outside of California?
Yeah, I would say the first thing I would do is just check your local networks, you know, and see, start with your pediatrician, you know, go to the pediatrician and say, some pediatric offices will have a psychologist on staff. And so you need to find out if they do and if they have testing. And it's the, you know, testing related to neurodevelopment, mental. So I would start with pediatrician, but then you can do Google search online and you can literally just start typing in child neuropsychologist who does testing. There's a lot of listservs like Psychology Today that lists different psychologists in areas all over the country. And you know, a lot of times people like I can reach out to my colleagues and say, is anyone in this area? And sometimes I can get referrals and recommendations. And believe it or not, I have people that fly in all the time and will spend the night in a hotel and do all day testing in one day and then fly home. I had someone that flew in from Chile to get testing. And so there, it's not unusual for people to fly in and do testing. I have people that have come from out of state several times and that will come in if that's something that they can do and have an opportunity to do that. But I would start, probably the easiest way is start with your pediatrician, start asking questions.
We have some questions again from parents regards to testing. Veronica is asking, once a child is diagnosed with a pediatrician, what's the next step?
Okay, so getting a diagnosis, I guess it's really going to like see what the diagnosis is. Pediatricians are going to be kind of limited in what they can diagnose, right? So I assume with a pediatrician, it would be something like ADHD, or they might say, well, it looks like they have anxiety, but they wouldn't give any other real formal diagnosis. They would probably refer out. But then the next step should be involved in the whole diagnostic process. And this is what I'm a huge stickler about is you should have recommendations and referrals immediately for services. And I'm not just talking about in school. I mean, there could be speech therapy, there could be occupational therapy, physical therapy, there could be educational therapists, there could be Stowe Learning Center, there could be all kinds of different referrals and recommendations. And when I do reports, I have sections, and there is a section just for the parent of what they can do in their house. And like with an ADHD diagnosis, I always say, screen time is balanced with green time. Okay. So I always tell the parents, if your child is getting 2 hours of video games, they are spending 2 hours outside in your backyard. And parents are going, what? I can't, that's too much. And I said, it has to be, because ADHD brain is very different. It needs that outdoor stimulation. So that would be just one example of a parent recommendation. So parents can do a lot of things. If their child is on the spectrum, they can get them involved in some social skills groups. And so we could do group therapy, or even just finding an interest. You know, maybe your child is really interested in robotics or chess or music. Find a club in your area and get them there. Even if you are working with them every week and holding their hand and walking them in there, that's going to develop their social skills. So there's a lot of recommendations and referrals that will be for the parent home environment, school environment, and then therapeutic type of interventions, which could include therapy, group therapy, or medications. So there's going to, you're going to cover all areas. That would be the next step.
Great. And then kind of piggybacking off of Jill's story a little bit, Lisa is asking, we had my daughter tested just before the pandemic by a pediatric neuropsychologist. We were told she is a slow processor. Do you have any suggestions? Sound familiar?
Well, and certainly, you know, I would want to look at the bigger picture to see what else is around that. But certainly the processing speed response time issue is something that we look at. We look at it both with training, you know, in terms of our processing skills work has a lot of work with the metronome and timing, as well as our core learning skills. Sometimes the challenges, you know, are really going down into a much lower level of reflexes and motor skills. And so we work with rhythm and timing there to work on processing speed. Sometimes response time, slow processing, could also be connected with diet, which is not my area of expertise, but I have a colleague who did a lot of research there with dairy and sugar and the impact on processing speed and in particular response time. So there's a lot to explore there to see where that's coming from in order to make the right recommendations.
And I would also add that like slower processing speed is not unusual. It's very common for kids to be better at verbal comprehension or visual spatial relationships and then all of a sudden have slower processing speed. So there's things that you can do to speed up that processing speed, but maybe it just means that your child needs a little bit more time to process things, but there's lots of games and things like that you can do that have timers. And like you were talking about the metronome to kind of quicken that speed, that with practice will improve processing speed. However, a lot of those type of things are pretty much stay the same. We can get improvement in the general functioning, but if it's lower than other areas, that's not a severe problem. You're just saying that, okay, I need a little bit more time to figure this out. So we can work on speeding things up in the processing, but it just means that, you know, maybe their higher, more complex cognitive areas are stronger, which is great.